This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Warmly, joined on this Thursday morning, as I always am, by Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown. Fellas, it is week 15. The fantasy playoffs are here in most leagues. Even if they're not, then you are in the stretch run of trying to make the playoffs in your league, and we are here to help. No preamble. Let's dive right in. Week 15 must start players, starting with the running backs and starting with Debro. Starts.
Oh, dear Lord. In the year of our Lord, 2023, I'm going to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, but man, this is where we're at. It is what it is, man. Zeke crushed, and we just needed to call what it is. He was the RB1 overall last week, and he looked good. Like, I can't say anything. I know I gave him a lot of shade on the shows and the waiver wire and all that kind of stuff, but he actually looked like he had some juice. 18% missed tackles forced per attempt. He had 2.7 yards of contact per attempt. He totaled 29 touches and 140 total yards, and he's primed to do something similar again this week. Kansas City Chiefs run defense has been terrible, man. So I think New England just feeds and feeds and feeds him this week. And if he can hold up to the volume, Zeke is going to eat yet again.
Yeah, Erickson, what do you make of Zeke? I mean, the volume numbers kind of are what they are. It's hard to argue with, right?
Yeah, and I mean, look, as someone that watches the Patriots very closely every single week, like Zeke, when Ramondre was still healthy, like Zeke was playing pretty well, like on a per touch basis. Like he has been efficient this year for the most part. And now that he's getting a lot of the volume, it's like he's their offense. Like he's the engine of their offense. And it can't be looking up and be like, yeah, Zeke Elliott, the engine of the Patriots offense, 3-10 squad. It's just very bizarre. But you can't argue with the volume. You can't argue with the matchup. Again, just a matter of how many points are the Patriots going to score. Like he's not guaranteed to score a touchdown, but the yardage should be there. And if he's catching passes, that gives him a really safe floor.
Debro, if you are putting Zeke in your lineup, what, like, scale of 1 to 10, what are your like positive vibes level? Like, are you feeling good about it, or does it feel gross just given his age and recent history?
So I want to tell you, and I think most people are going to go to the gross factor here. I actually feel pretty damn good about it, man. Like The volume's going to be there. I mean, to be honest, I look at Zeke the way that I like, to me, that just makes me sad that we don't have Ramondre like that because of injuries that was stolen from us. But I feel the same comfort level right now putting Zeke into a lineup considering last week's performance as I would starting Ramondre Stevenson. Like, what else is different? He's going to get 20 to 25 touches. He is going to get a ton of checkdowns. We saw that last week. And if he scores, Yahtzee, he's top 5, he's top 10 again. If he doesn't score, he's still going to be an RB2. So I feel pretty good about it, which is honestly kind of scary.
Yeah. All right, Erickson, give me your first must-start running back.
Going to continue to ride the usage here with Zach Moss. Look, that's all I can tell you, because he's seeing crazy usage every single week. He just has been running really cold when it comes to touchdowns. He scored a touchdown last week, but he got called back due to a penalty. So he has 15 red zone touches over the last 2 weeks. He has 0 touchdowns, but he still saw 8 targets last week, caught 4 for 28 yards. Look, I just think that you have to continue to look at the usage. I mean, look at the Steelers. I mean, who just had a great game against the Steelers? Ezekiel Elliott, because he got volume. And a week before that, who had a great game against the Steelers? James Conner. Why? Because he got volume. Like, so Zach Moss, again, Jonathan Taylor's not going to play in this game. He's the strict bell cow. He's been down the last couple weeks, but all indications are, hey, this is going to regress positively for him about just based on the amount of red zone touches he's seeing in this offense. Again, he scored last week, but got called back due to a penalty. Eventually, that's not always going to be the case. So I'm going to continue to lean on Zach Moss.
Yeah, Debra, you are a bit lower on Moss than Erickson is, who's ranking him very aggressively. You are below consensus, though.
I've got him at RB19, and when I looked at him writing up the primer, the concerning thing for me with Zach Moss is just how inefficient he's been over the last few weeks. Like, looking at Zach Moss's tackle breaking metrics, it's honestly like the volume is definitively there. I can't say anything else about that. But if you look at Zach Moss since week 13, zero goose egg explosive runs. He's only forced missed tackles on 3% of his volume. He has 2.06 yards after contact per attempt. Like, all of these numbers are pretty damn bad. So I hear the volume conversation, and I totally understand that. And could he burn me because of that volume? Absolutely. My pause on Moss is I don't know if the volume's caught up to him at this point of the season, because he's not breaking tackles of the last 2 weeks. And that's what I think has really crushed him over the last 2 weeks. The efficiency we saw earlier in the season, and he was breaking tackles like crazy, he's not doing that now.
Can you just wave the white flag for Zach Moss, please?
For those that need
Zach Moss.
Do it for the people. I give up on Zach Moss. I give up. The white flag is raised. We're pulling it to the top of the mast. I give up, people. So I cannot play Zach Moss.
You're welcome. Thank you for being our hero there, D-Bro. Let's stick with you for your next must-start running back.
Oh, man. The guy that I'm going to talk about here, and I know, or at least I think Erickson and I are going to divide on this a little bit, is Keaton Mitchell, man. If you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars run defense over the last few weeks, they have not been as good, not even close to as good as they were to begin the season. Since week 9, Jacksonville is allowing the highest explosive run rate in the NFL, the 5th highest rushing touchdown rate, and the 3rd most missed tackles per attempt. So all of this screams efficiency, 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 efficiency. And the trend line for Keaton Mitchell is not good. Like, it was going up and we're all feeling great and grand, and then the last week happened, and then his snaps go meow down, and I'm like, it's not great. But if we're talking about a guy that's going to be working on limited volume, like Keaton Mitchell, even in the best circumstances, what are we talking about here? 12, maybe 13 or 14 touches. That's about it. So we're going to bank on the efficiency. Everything I'm looking at for the Jacksonville Jaguars says that they are going to give up big runs in this game. So that's where the path to success for Keaton Mitchell comes, because we know the volume is not going to be there. I just need him to be efficient as all get out with the touches that he does get. And I think he can do that.
Erickson, you know, a little spoiler alert coming up on the Must Sit show today. You've got Keaton Mitchell in that list as well. So going head to head really directly against D-Bro here, Keaton Mitchell, are you just, you know, what are you missing on him, I guess?
I just disagree with the matchup. I don't think it's a good matchup. Like, I get, like, they've given up a couple explosive runs. Chase Brown had a big run against them, but, you know, Jerome Ford had 51 rushing yards last week. Kareem Hunt had 27. Joe Mixon had 68 yards on 19 carries, and he scored 2 touchdowns. Is Keaton Mitchell going to score 2 touchdowns? Like, Derrick Henry had under 40 yards against them. Like, Devin Singletary had under 20 yards against them. Like, they've shown plenty of signs of being able to... The thing is, like, they're better, even if they have shown some weakness against the run, they're significantly worse against the pass. And what did we see from this offense last week? For like, why isn't Lamar just dialing up passing attempts and just ripping the team to shreds? Like, that's what I think their game plan is going to be. I don't think they're going to need to rely on Keaton Mitchell as this uber efficient running back. And what's his touchdown equity? I just don't see a scenario where, oh, unless Keaton Mitchell, again, I mean, he's explosive running back. Could he rip off a 60-yard touchdown? Yeah, but I don't want to bet on that on my fantasy football playoffs when there's no floor attached to it. So that's why I'm not as high on Keaton Mitchell. And again, where do you have him ranked, D-Bro? Because we talk about this when we're disagreeing on players, and then it's like, oh, we're like 3 spots a difference. Like, where do you actually have Mitchell ranked?
I've got him at RB26, so somewhere not, in the RB3 range. Like, I'm not insane. I think when outside of the ranking conversation, when you talk about, okay, who, because Keaton Mitchell is going to be a flex play for people. When we get into the flex weeds and it's like, I'm going shooting for upside and I need upside from that spot, that's where I think the Keaton Mitchell outside of the rankings conversation comes into play, where it's like, am I going to play him versus another running back or a wide receiver? It's like, if I'm shooting for upside, I'm going to go with Mitchell.
It's hard to believe we are this deep into the NFL season. We've got to make every second count. With DraftKings Sportsbook, you can make the most out of every game day. Bet on your favorite teams for a shot at winning big bucks. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on any matchup. We are at the time of year where we've got some Saturday games to watch this week, plus a couple of standout games on Sunday as always. The week finishes particularly strong with Cowboys-Bills Sunday afternoon, Ravens-Jags Sunday night, and Eagles Seahawks on Monday Night Football. DraftKings has Dallas getting 1.5 on the road in Buffalo in what should be the game of the week. However you plan to bet that one, get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on the NFL, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Erickson, hit me with your next must-start running back.
Antonio Gibson. I don't think Brian Robinson's going to play. You know, he opened this week with a hamstring injury that he suffered the last time we saw the Commanders play. They went on bye week. He comes out, doesn't practice. So I don't think he's going to play in this game. So for me, that makes Antonio Gibson a must-start option as a top 24 guy. He's a three-down skill set. I get the matchup's not great against the Rams, but I'm chasing the total in this game. Like, this game has a massive total. We should see plenty of passing attempts from the Commanders because that's literally what we see from them all the time. And there was a stretch of games where Antonio Gibson, even when Brian Robinson was still active in the lineup, Gibson was getting absolutely peppered with targets and catches. He had three straight games with five catches. And the last two games, he had three catches and four receptions. So layering in, okay, he has a pass-catching role, then you're going to layer in any extra rushing production that he gets, any extra red zone usage that he gets. I think that he's a viable option this week with a guy with a three-down skill set. And it doesn't even matter what happens in this game. Like, if the Commanders jump out to a lead, okay, Gibson's getting the ball. If they fall behind, Gibson's getting dump-off passes. So I really like Gibson as a spot here. I want people to be forward-thinking when it comes to, don't expect Brian Robinson to be available. Like, look at Antonio Gibson on your roster and be like, hey, this guy's going to be the starting running back for the Commanders this week, and I should view him as a top 24 option versus my other options on my team.
Debo, Antonio Gibson is RB35. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
If Brian Robinson is out, then I think it's just right. If Brian Robinson's active, then I think it's too high. I have no faith in Antonio Gibson. Like, I understand the points that Erickson makes, and the only thing that keeps resounding in my head is that Jason Momoa meme where, like, he's sneaking up on Henry Cavill, and, like, I just think of Chris Rodriguez as, like, I'm coming for those touches and touchdowns, baby! Like, that's all I can think of right now.
All right, Devo, give me your next must-start running back.
Welp, Alexander Mattison's probably not going to play this week, boys. We're firing up Ty Chandler. And this comes down to, again, we're talking about injuries and volume opportunities. Ty Chandler is going to be the guy. Kanae Nwangwu probably plays. He probably spells him some, but he's not going to factor in for a heavy amount of touches. And you look at the Bengals, you can run on the Cincinnati Bengals. Since week 9, 8th lowest stuff rate, 11th highest missed tackles per attempt. So Ty Chandler might not be the sexiest name in the world, but as long as Alexander Mattison is going to be out this week, Ty Chandler is going to be a top 24 back.
Erickson, where do you have Chandler?
I have him in the 30s, but I agree that he would be ranked higher if Mattison is ultimately. Did Mattison not practice the first week?
He's not practiced at all this week.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if he's out, I'll rank Ty.
If he's out, like, I've got him at RB 40 right now just because I want to see him ruled out. But I'm saying right now, if we know that Mattison is out, I'm moving Ty Chandler up to RB 20.
Yeah. I would probably move Ty Chandler ahead of, like, Gibson. So I would move him into the top 24. So,
like, him or Javonte Williams, Erickson, where are you going?
I would still start Javonte.
All right, Erickson, give me your last must-start running back.
More of a deep play if you're looking for a flex. Tyler Allgeier, look, he is viewed as their closer. Like, that's how they like using him. They don't use him in the first half of the game. They use him in the fourth quarter. And if they're trying to kill clock against the Carolina Panthers on the road, Allgeier is going to get the rock. And the Panthers are just one of the worst defenses against the run. So I think that if you're hurting at running back, you've had some injuries, you need an RB2 slot. I think that Allgeier, who's available like on a lot of waiver wires too, just because he got dropped, I think that he's a deeper play, just given how good the matchup is.
Yeah, actually, I want to pull up and see what his availability looks like. While I do that, D-Bro, what do you think about Allgeier this week?
I think Allgeier's fine. I mean, I'm getting all choked up sitting here thinking about Arthur Smith and his usage of running backs. It gets to me sometimes. But looking at Tyler Allgeier, I mean, the thesis of the play is absolutely right. Like, I don't think the Carolina Panthers are winning this game. And if you're looking at a guy that could sniff 12 to 14 opportunities in positive game script, Allgeier does fit the bill. So I probably need to move him up in my ranks.
He is 49% rostered in Yahoo and 39% rostered in ESPN. So he very likely is available.
And he's just like a good handcuff to own in case, because the Falcons schedule is so good. And if Bijan were to get hurt, like,
oh, yeah,
Allgeier should needs to be on every roster, especially like, even just for the handcuff.
Yeah. I've been telling this people all week, like, as soon as you get to there's no more buys, but B, you're in the playoffs, like, your bench should be as high upside as possible at this point because you're trying to win a championship. I mean, you don't need to have this like great startable depth that has a low ceiling to get through the bye weeks. That's done. So a guy like Allgeier, if he's available, he is the type of guy you want on your bench this time of year. Let's go to the Who Do I Start tool, guys. This is free to use for anybody at fantasypros.com/start. Anybody can head there, put in their own starter sit questions up to four different players at a time, which is a really nice feature. You can even pick and choose which experts your decision draws from. Again, that's free to use at fantasypros.com/start, the Who Do I Start tool. D-Bro, are you starting Zeke Elliott or DeAndre Swift this week?
Man, I'm going Swift. That's really close. That's honestly... that's a lot closer than I thought it was going to be, but I'm going Swift.
How about, well, actually, since that one was so close, Erickson, what would you do there, Zeke or Swift?
I'm going Zeke. I just think that, like, Swift, like the matchup is good, but his role is not good. Like, he doesn't get a lot of targets, and he doesn't have touchdown equity. Even on, like, he's on the one of the best offenses of the NFL, and he doesn't score touchdowns. Like, I get Zeke doesn't have a lot of touchdown equity either, but at least you know he's going to get the ball if the Patriots get to the red zone. Like he's going to score. So, Zeke... matchup is just as good, but Zeke's getting all the volume and getting all the high value touches where Swift is not. So I'm going with Zeke.
Could we get Jalen Hurts to shove Swift in the end zone once or twice? Like, could they design that? That'd be nice.
Well, that was, I have no idea who did this, but shouts to them. Somebody edited the Talladega Nights where he's like, hey, maybe I could finish first a couple of times. John C. Riley and Will Ferrell was like, yeah, but then I wouldn't finish first. And it was like Jalen Hurts talking about the tush push with DeAndre Swift. It was an amazing meme. So whoever came up with that,
glorious,
shouts to you. That was perfect. D-Bro, Keaton Mitchell or Ty Chandler, which I wrote before you talked about both those guys. So it sounds like you have a clear preference there.
Yeah, it's Ty Chandler. And then it goes down to the volume. He's going to get all the touches. Yeah, it's going to be Chandler.
Yeah. Would Jaylen Warren be over both those guys for you?
Ty Chandler would be over Jaylen Warren, and I've actually got Jaylen Warren. I think Jaylen Warren and Keaton Mitchell are a very similar conversation. I've got Warren one spot ahead of Keaton Mitchell, but I mean, if you were to tell me, if anybody wanted to say, look, like, I'm going to play Mitchell over Warren, I'm not going to push back, because over the last few weeks, Najee Harris has been getting all of the red zone work. Don't know why it's happening, just throwing it out there that it is happening.
All right, Erickson, Zach Moss or Austin Eckler?
Zach Moss.
And you have Zach Moss, it's showing on the site, top five this week. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I mean, just look at the usage. He's got 15 red zone touches over the last 2 weeks. Like, he's going to score eventually, so yeah.
Tyler Allgeier or Zach Charbonnet?
Allgeier.
And then since Gibson's still in the more of the like RB3 range, just give me some interesting names you're starting him over.
I would start him over Edwards-Helaire. I'd probably start him over Jalen Warren, James Conner, Jerome Ford, Keaton Mitchell, A.J. Dillon.
What about Gus Bus?
Those guys.
You going Gibson over Gus Bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to the must-start wide receivers. D-Bro, starting with you.
First guy I got to bring up, and we're going to go down the list a little bit. A guy that hasn't made noise recently, but I think he comes back in a big way this week. People need to get Josh Downs into the lineups. I think Michael Pittman is going to get a shout out for Joey Porter Jr., who has been electric this year. He has been, you can make a really good case for Joey Porter Jr. If it's not him, it's L'Jarius Sneed, who have been the two best shadow corners in the NFL this year. He's just playing out of his mind. So I think Pittman gets erased from this game. And that says a lot. Like, I'm deciding, like, how low do I want to put Michael Pittman this week? But looking at the matchup for Josh Downs, they turned Patrick Peterson into the slot corner. So you're telling me Josh Downs and his speed can't burn Patrick Peterson at this stage? As well as since week 9, Pittsburgh has given up the fourth most PPR points per target to opposing slot wide receivers. Josh Downs is going to lead the Colts in targets and receiving production this week. You need to get him into your lineups.
Where do you have him ranked? Because he's ranked wide receiver 43 in half too PPR low. In the consensus.
That is way too low. I've got him in wide receiver 3 range. Josh Downs is wide receiver. I got him at wide receiver 30. So I will play Josh Downs over Drake London, Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen. Let's go, baby. Giddy up.
And Erickson, you are even higher on Downs this week in the rankings.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, wide receiver 20. I'm getting that notification every time. It's like, you are X amount spots higher than this player. Are you sure you want to submit your rankings? I'm like, yes, I do. Because Erickson grins ear to ear. He's like, let's go.
Erickson has conviction. That's for sure. Erickson, who's your first must-start receiver?
Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think that this is a great spot for him against the Philadelphia Eagles. You're looking at the weakest part of this Eagles defense. Again, it's been a defense that wide receivers have been scoring fantasy points left and right against, but they're allowing the most fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers. So again, we're always talking about these rookies that break out in the second half of season. JSN has been heating up. I absolutely love what we've seen from him. He has over 20 targets over the last 2 weeks. Like, he had 8 targets last week, 23% target share, coming off a game before that where he had 11-plus targets. He led the team in targets for the second straight game. Again, he's coming off a down game. He only had 4 catches for 25 yards, but the usage was there still. 71% of the snaps. Ran a route on 79% of the dropbacks, both increased from the week prior. So this rookie's heating up, and the matchup screams that you need to start Jack Smith and Jigba. So again, he's definitely someone that you haven't been starting every single week. You've kind of been holding on the bench, hoping you get a late season surge. I think it starts now. So I'm trying to find ways to get JSN into my lineup.
To Erickson's point, the great thing for JSN since week 8, 32.6% designed looks. So Seattle is like, we are going to get the ball in your hands, baby.
Are we maybe overreacting too much to some of the like underlying metrics as opposed to the actual production? Because like if you look since week 8, like Debro just said, wide receiver finished 33, 24, 39, 50, 63, 31, 55. So you're not actually getting the fantasy points that you've needed.
Well, Worm, he did catch a touchdown against Dallas, but it was overturned.
That's true.
It was a touchdown.
That's what I mean. It's just like stuff like that. So it's like, In the final box score, that's not going to be there, but that's why we go dive deep into these deeper metrics, being like, hey, he had 11 targets. He actually caught a touchdown and would have had a much bigger game. And last week, again, Drew Lock was the quarterback. Like, that's a big difference between him and Geno Smith. So, look, I just think that the spot here, I mean, he can be a potential league winner. Like, he's got the Eagles this week, then the Titans, then the Steelers. Like, we just talked about how much we love Josh Downs because he's the slot guy. JSN's the slot guy. So I say right now, like, you jam him in your lineup and you do not move him until the end of the season. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm with you moving forward on how it looks. I speaking for the audience, I think it's hard to say, oh, this guy's heating up when he's only gotten into double-digit fantasy scoring
again,
once in the last 6 weeks.
He caught the touchdown. That was the week
he did go into double digits. So it would still be only once in the last 6 weeks that he was in double digits if that touchdown counted. But
such a hater.
I'm a believer going forward. Like I said, I'm trying to speak for the audience here. Let's go to
Don't come at me with your dynasty offers for JSN. I see you.
I can't remember that. You didn't want to trade for Puka, and that's on you. That train has left the station.
We're not going to talk about your price tags, okay? We're going to leave that out of this show.
It actually would have been a reasonable price tag now.
And
hindsight.
Looking back, yes. To your point.
Yes, I knew what I had. Famously, I'm the Puka guy on this show. So.
Yeah, it's fair. The juice is real.
Let's go now to our Miller Lite. Here's to what's next. Must start player of the week. Debro, who do you got?
Oh, man. my guy is going to be Odell Beckham Jr. And I was touting Odell's praises in the week prior, and I'm going right back to the well. And that's because the matchup, baby, going against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've allowed the fifth most PPR points per target to opposing wide receivers since week 9. OBJ, 23% target share last week. He's crushing, man. And look, highest snap rate since week 8 last week. So we're going to stay in the flames. We're going to ride the lightning. We're going with OBJ.
Now, we know Odell's dynasty value isn't much of anything given his age, but as our here's to what's next player this week, what do we think of his finish to this season rest of the way? Where are we ranking OBJ rest of the season with huge matchups coming up against the Jags, 49ers, and Dolphins? It's not an easy finish.
It's not an easy finish. I think that considering the offense, considering how well, and we talked about this before we turn the cameras on, how well Lamar is playing, because he is playing out of his mind, dude. I want the possible wide receiver one, maybe the wide receiver two, you know, however you want to dice this up. I want those guys attached to Lamar Jackson. So OBJ, he's going to be in that weekly wide receiver three, wide receiver four conversation, depending on the matchup.
He's wide receiver 42 in the rest of season rankings. Erickson, where would you put him? Kind of what range?
Probably in wide receiver three range. Yeah. Yeah.
I think wide receiver 42 is too low. I think he's getting healthy. It is. Like you said, the offense is playing really well. They're going to need to score in games against San Francisco and Miami. So I think he's going to have a really strong finish of the season. I don't know if I would like slap the league winner title on him, but I think he's a guy I want to be starting the rest of the way if I can find room for him. With a Miller Lite in your hand, winter doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Erickson, give me your next must-start receiver.
All right. Well, because I need to please the box score worm, I'm going to go with a guy that actually has been producing the last couple of weeks. Rashi Rice for the Kansas City Chiefs, another rookie wide receiver. You look at his last couple of games, he's gone over 7 receptions in 3 straight games. He's gone over 60 receiving yards in 3 straight games. Like, the Chiefs have no wide receiver they can trust that's not named Rashi Rice. So I think that he's going to continue to be the focal point of the Chiefs passing game. You look at what the Patriots traditionally do. They try to take away your number one weapon. They know that's going to be Travis Kelce. So they're going to try to throw everything at Travis Kelce, which I think should let Rashi Rice see the majority of targets in this offense. Again, the Patriots don't have a good defense against wide receivers, especially ones like Rashi Rice. They're allowing the 3rd most fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers. That's where Rice is mostly deployed, is out on the perimeter. So I think that it's a good matchup for Rice. The production is there for Rice the last couple of weeks, and his usage has also been increasing. He's seeing highs in snap share in terms of route participation because the Chiefs are trying to get the ball to nobody else besides Rice and Kelce. And just given the matchup against the Patriots, I think Rice is going to be the guy that sees the most volume after he saw 10 targets last week.
Wide receiver 23 this week in ECR. Too high, too low, or just right, Erickson?
That's too low. I mean, the last 3 weeks, he's been 4, 26, and 12. So 23 is at his lower range of outcomes. When I just talked about the matchup, the matchup's good. And the Chiefs are not—they're not going to score 0 points. I get their offense has struggled, but I mean, Rice has been a target machine. He has 9+ targets in 3 straight games. Like, I would argue that he should be higher. Like, he should be more in the conversation like a wide receiver 15. Why is this rookie someone that we're looking? Oh, he's a blow-in wide receiver 2. When the production says that's like his floor. I think that he's a great player. Again, another player that I'm trying to find ways to get into my lineup. I have him right next to Zay Flowers. Like, they're both rookies, and they're both the number one wide receivers on their team. So why not? And they both have good matchups.
Yeah, I've got Rice at wide receiver 17. I'm right with you, Erickson.
Yeah. Deber, you've got another rookie here you want to talk about.
I mean, anytime we could talk about Daryl Debo Samuel, we have to, right, baby? Like, come on. Jayden Reed has been crushing over the last few weeks. Since week 8, he's wide receiver 20 in fantasy points per game. He's getting rushing attempts. He's scoring rushing touchdowns. He's getting target volume. And he's gonna crush again this week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't stop anybody. Carlton Davis's banged up. Jamel Dean's banged up. Even when they have been playing, they haven't been good. They can't stop anybody via the slot. Jayden Reed could score twice in this game, once on the ground and once through the air, and nobody should be surprised at all. You need to play him. We talk about how many rookies have we just mentioned on this show This is the time of year when the rookies take flight. They are the picks that you make in the beginning of the year, and you're like, yeah, oh, do I drop him? What do I do? I can't start him. These are the guys that are going to bring you to Title Town, baby. Like, they're driving the freaking bus right now. Jayden Reed, JSN, Rashee Rice, giddy up.
Was limited in practice on Wednesday. Is there any concern there, Erickson or Debro?
No, I mean, he's been dealing on and off with like little dings. I mean, if he's limited in practice, if he gets a DMP, then I'll raise the flag, but not yet.
He has a functioning hamstring, which Christian Watson does not have. So yeah. Just gonna think Jayden Reed.
Okay. Oh, don't take shots at my man's like that.
Erickson, give me your last must start receiver.
Okay, must start is probably a little aggressive, but I want to talk about a deeper play because it's do or die. If you have this guy, if he's available, you need upside. I think Jerry Jeudy has upside this week.
Yes.
He saw six targets last week, had a 20% target share. He had 77% of the air yards, and he had basically all the makings of like a great game, and then just totally spiraled out of control. Like, he didn't get his second foot in bounds, and they were talking about the touchdown to Courtland Sutton was actually a play. Sean Payton said after the game, the play was actually designed to go to Jerry Jeudy, but when Russ is just like scrambling, he's like, you know what? Where's Courtland Sutton? Like, that's where I have to throw the ball to. So Sutton's on 10 touchdowns, but Jerry Jeudy should see some positive regression. He only has one touchdown this year. His expected touchdown output is four touchdowns. You look at the Detroit Lions, just an awesome matchup. They rank first in terms of red zone touches allowed to wide receivers this season. Again, all reasons why you should be starting Courtland Sutton, but all reasons why, hey, if this game shoots out, you might see another Denver Broncos wide receiver actually do something that's not named Courtland Sutton. So you're already starting Sutton, but I think that Jerry Jeudy is a deeper play. If you're a big underdog, you know, you're the eighth seed facing the number one seed this week, and you need upside, like, off the waiver wire, you don't like your flex play, like, Jerry Jeudy could potentially be that guy because he's probably available on a lot of waiver wires after disappointing, but last week, all the usage was there for him to have a big week. It did not come to fruition, but in an even better matchup against the Detroit Lions, I think Jerry Jeudy, who again last year was in a similar situation where he had all this regression kind of like building up, and then he scored three touchdowns against the Kansas City Chiefs. So in this spot where the Lions have been really bad, particularly against number two wide receivers, that's Jerry Jeudy. I think this could be a big game for him of basically his one big game, you know, of the season.
My bold call of the week, Erickson. I put it in the bold calls article. 120 and 20, baby.
How many times this season do you think Jerry Jeudy has finished as wide receiver 24 or better?
Zero.
It is. How many times do you think he's gotten into double digit scoring in half PPR?
Zero.
Two. Four. He had 11 fantasy points in week three and 12 in week eight.
I know he's been bad.
It's just, funny to say, oh, high upside guy. The most he scored this year in a game is 12, and we're in week 15. So, yep.
But again, it's like,
The matchup is there.
If we're ever going to see a game where the Broncos are forced to pass more, it would be against Detroit at Ford Field.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not even necessarily disagreeing with you. It's just funny to look at a guy like that game log and be like, high upside guy this week.
Don't worry, Worm. His box score is going to look good this week, okay?
I'm just asking questions here, guys. D-Bro, Josh Downs or JSN this week?
Downs.
Erickson, I forget if you said this during your segment, but who would you side with there, Downs or JSN?
I actually have Downs ahead, too.
I
have Downs ahead, too.
Yeah, I was like, don't give me your fake scoff. I know.
D-Bro, Odell Beckham Jr. or Tyler Lockett this week?
Ooh, I'm going Lockett. I think that game shoots out. I'm just going to play the total and play the game.
Lockett is ranked higher in ECR by about five spots. I would probably take Odell there, but
if you were to tell me Odell outscores him, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah. Jayden Reed or Zay Flowers?
So many good pieces for Baltimore and so many ways of the touchdown. Let's go Jayden Reed, baby. Let's go Jayden Reed.
Erickson, JSN, or Noah Brown? This is, I would say, assuming Stroud plays.
JSN, it's not even close.
JSN.
Rashee Rice or Courtland Sutton?
Ooh.
I've Rice one spot ahead, so.
It's a good one.
Okay.
I have them hugged up as well. I've got Courtland Sutton one spot ahead.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy or Elijah Moore?
dude. Elijah Moore is never going to happen. So Jerry Jeudy, let's go. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that I would feel good about either of them, but that's fair.
No, I mean, it's like the whole, like, it's like Gabe Davis or Jerry Jeudy or a bunch of a boom bust guy. Like, that's the play here. And just like, hey, you got to call your shot.
Yeah.
And this is the spot for Jeudy.
Yep. D-Bro, must start quarterback, tight end, and defense/special teams.
Well, talked about Derry Bell Debo. We're going to go this quarterback, Jordan Love, baby. Since week 9, Tampa Bay has allowed the 4th highest yards per attempt, the most passing yards per game. So Jordan Love looked shaky last week. He's going to get back on the good foot this week. The tight end we got to bring up here. There's so many good tight ends and really good matchups this week. Logan Thomas is the guy. You look at the Rams, they have not been able to stop tight ends all year. They're allowing the 4th most fantasy points per game and receiving yards per game to tight ends. And again, talked about this, or we're going to talk about this here in a little bit. We need to put some respect on the Bears defense. Since week 11, DST 3 in fantasy points per game, baby. Let's go. Monsters of the Midway are back. You need to start the Bears, and they're out there everywhere. Like, I was looking at them earlier in the week. They were below 10% rostered in most leagues. Like, what are we doing here? Like, people are like, do I play the Raiders? Do I play the Chargers? Do I play the good game? No, you play the Bears. Play the Bears.
D-Bro, how many of these quarterbacks would you play over Jordan Love? Fields, Howell, Wilson, Goff, Tua.
Fields. I think Fields is the only one. Yeah, Fields.
You'd have Love That's over it. Sam Howell, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, and Tua?
I do. I have Justin Fields at QB7, and I have Jordan Love at QB8. And now, if you were to, where I think the delineation should be, is Jordan Love versus Matthew Stafford. That's a really good conversation this week.
Before we move on with the show, let's take a second to talk about Ayr Medcare Network. We talk a lot about what makes winners on this show, and there's one thing that all the teams, coaches, and players have in common: preparation. Planning is key in everyday life too, and a great way to be prepared for the unexpected is to join Ayr Medcare Network, America's largest air ambulance membership network. Ayr Medcare Network providers operate state-of-the-art helicopters that can respond to critically ill or injured patients who need emergency medical transport. These flights can be very expensive, but as an Ayr Medcare Network member, you won't see a bill for your flight only when flown by one of their providers. That's right, you would pay nothing. You can become a member of Ayr Medcare Network for just $99 per year. And right now, our listeners get up to an $80 MasterCard or Amazon e-gift card when they join and use offer code FANTASYPROS. That's FANTASYPROS with no spaces. Make financial peace of mind part of your game plan. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS. Erickson, give me your QPTEDST.
Getting all those words out at once. Kyler Murray is my must-start quarterback. I was surprised like how low he's in. He's like ECR like 16 or like 15.
I got him at 17, like, so I need to hear this case.
I don't get it. Like, okay, he's a number one. Well, he's a mobile quarterback, so that automatically puts him in the consideration to be a top 15 quarterback anyway. The 49ers have faced the NFL's highest pass rate. We already talked about, or we're going to talk about, how James Conner is not set up for a smash spot here against the 49ers defense. So what are they going to do? They're going to throw the ball a ton. And you look at Kyler Murray in his home games this year, he's gone over 250 passing yards in both games. He's averaged 19 points per game at home. And this is coming from my betting perspective, but the games that have played in Arizona this year are perfect 6-0 towards the over. Like, these games are shooting out every single time that teams play Arizona, because Arizona plays way better at home. So I don't think that it's just going to be, oh, the 49ers just go in there and just steamroll the Cardinals. Yeah, they're going to score points, but I think that the Cardinals coming off a bye week are going to score points too. So give me Kyler Murray, who I think is super undervalued based on his ability as a rusher and as a passer coming off a bye week playing at home. So
Erickson,
is
Arizona going to become the new Coors Field for you?
No, Ford Field is the only Coors Field for me, but they are in the running for potential Coors Field of the NFL.
Coors Field football south.
West. No, west. West. Not south.
All right, who's your tight end in defense?
Tucker Kraft is my tight end. Nice. Just playing the matchup here against the Buccaneers, allowing 6 most receiving yards per game to tight ends. And Tucker Kraft actually led the Packers in receiving yards last week, 64 yards on 4 catches, caught all of his targets. He had 4 targets, and he also played 100% of the snaps. So Tucker Kraft comes with a super high floor. He's playing every single snap, and the matchup is there. So I like Tucker Kraft, especially if Christian Watson remains out. The Packers are down a couple of their receivers, so I like him in this spot as a streaming tight end. And then DST, I do like the Bears a lot as well, but the Los Angeles Rams, again, they're playing the Commanders. They're playing the Commanders. And look, Sam Howell takes a lot of sacks. They're number one in the projections this week, and then you can ride them throughout the rest of the playoffs because they can play the Saints and then the Giants the next 2 weeks in the fantasy postseason. So if you're looking for a defense to kind of ride the rest of the way, the Rams can potentially be that for you.
Kyler Murray or Jordan Love?
Kyler Murray.
And then I'm asking you this one because...
Okay.
Why is that like I don't understand. Like I guess I'm out on like left field by myself here.
You are. I think obvious. You are.
I mean, you are well ahead of consensus on Kyler. I tend to agree with you, Erickson, that I think he's way undervalued at QB 15 is where he is in ECR. But I do like Love a lot too. The next one I was gonna ask you, because I already know the answer looking at your rankings, Kyler Murray or Patrick Mahomes?
Kyler Murray, like he's a mobile quarterback. Yeah. Like that's like the that gives him such a high floor, and then you're adding in all this additional passing volume that he's going to get playing the 49ers.
I mean, you look at the guys that are ranked like directly ahead of Kyler this week, like Trevor Lawrence. I'd rather play Kyler.
What?
Lawrence should not be over him.
Jared Goff, Tua, Russell Wilson. I get like those are the names that are
I guess
directly
going all
ahead
on
of Kyler.
Kyler Murray and DFS this week because nobody wants to play.
You should.
I'm right there with you. Let me do a quick recap here. We are starting Zeke Elliott, Zach Moss, Keaton Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, Ty Chandler, Tyler Algier, Josh Downs, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Odell Beckham Jr., Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, Jerry Jeudy, Jordan Love, Kyler Murray, Logan Thomas, Tucker Kraft, the Bears defense, and the Rams defense sits. It's the must sit players of week 15. And as we always do, we'll start with the running backs. Erickson, who you got?
I'm going to sit Keaton Mitchell this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't like the matchup. The Jaguars are one of the better teams against the run this season. And the usage has been trending okay for Keaton Mitchell. But even like last week, he's still splitting carries with Gus Edwards in the first half. He had 3 carries. Gus Edwards had 2. We saw Justice Hill actually play the most snaps in the game. So a lot of these running backs for Baltimore, it's really dependent on like, okay, like how is the game flow going? Like if they're up by a lot, okay, it's probably going to be Gus Edwards. If it's more back and forth, okay, Justice Hill plays a lot of snaps, so he doesn't get a lot of touches. Keaton Mitchell is my highest ranked Ravens running back. So if you have to start one, like he would be the guy I would lean towards, but it's just not a favorable spot where his usage hasn't been good enough, even after the bye week, as the best running back on the Ravens to really, hey, this is a smash spot for him, because it's not. Like, the matchup warrants, hey, running back in a committee in a bad matchup, probably want to shy away from Keaton Mitchell, even though he's been trending relatively positive in the last couple weeks compared to the rest of the Ravens running backs.
How wide is the gap for you between Keaton Mitchell and Gus Edwards in the same backfield?
I mean, it's only a couple spots, and that's just due to Gus Edwards just has the touchdown equity, where if he scores a touchdown, he's probably going to outscore Keaton Mitchell, but Mitchell's probably a safer bet when it comes to his total rushing yardage props, his receptions, his total touches. If you look at the rushing attempts that some of the books have put out, it's like 8.5 for Gus Edwards, and it's 9.5 for Keaton Mitchell. So they're kind of throwing their hands up, being like, hey, you want to guess which guy's going to get more attempts? Like, good luck. So again, I just would be very, I'm not bullish on either guy, really, especially just given the tough matchup, because the Jaguars will sell out to sell the run. Like, even how badly they're second, that's why I love Lamar and like the passing game and the passing weapons in this matchup. Don't like the running backs.
Debra, who's your first must-sit running back?
Man, the guy that I talked about last week, Worm, that's Jerome Ford. He had a good week last week, but we are off of that this week. I mean, you look at the matchup. I mean, the Bears have just been electric. They've been amazing as a defense, and they've been stopping the run all year. Like, that's nothing new. So Jerome Ford facing this run defense, I mean, since week 9, 6th lowest explosive run rate allowed, 11th lowest rushing touchdown rate allowed. So even if you're saying, okay, well, he's not going to be that efficient, maybe I can bank on the touchdowns. I don't think the touchdown's going to be there either for Jerome Ford. So I would be going other directions, because he's probably, I mean, come on. At this juncture of the season, he's probably, I mean, maybe you're stuck with him as an RB2, but if he's your flex option, I'm going other directions this week.
He's been really consistent. I was actually surprised, like, pulling up the game log. to see what the numbers have been, but since the bye week in week five, there's only been one week where he hasn't been between 10 and 16 points in half PPR scoring. So he's been in that like RB 17, RB 23 type range for a really long stretch here, and that's been sort of matchup dependent. So is it just that the Bears are that good of a matchup that it scares you off, or that bad of a matchup rather?
No, it's absolutely that. The Bears are that bad of a matchup. And I think, like, I mean, we're going to talk about multiple Browns in the show, but I think this entire offense, you need to have concern about them because the Bears have been amazing, like, as a pass defense, as a run defense. Joe Flacco has been playing some really good, he's had some really good matchups so far. So they've been able to move the ball either through the ground or through the air. I don't know if that's the case this week.
Erickson, it looks like you're in the staff rankings, actually a few spots lower on Ford than Debro is. So you're kind of thinking the same thing with the matchup?
Yeah, not a matchup against the, I mean, I just don't like this game environment in general. And Jerome Ford, like, look, we have all the teams playing this week. So it's like, yeah, you talked about how Jerome Ford has kind of been that steady body, okay, like in that RB 17, RB 24 range. Okay, well, there have been teams on bye weeks every single week, basically. So now you bump that down. Okay, now he's more of an RB 3 play, and we're in the playoffs now. So, like, RB3 production may not get it done for you to come away with a win this week. Like, you got to play your best guys, and Jerome Ford, more often than not, is probably not going to be your best guy and best option this week, even as, like, a flex play. He's definitely more of a floor guy than a ceiling play. And, again, if you're a dog as one of your matchups, like, the eighth seed, like, playing Jerome Ford's probably not going to help you.
Yeah, that's a good point on the no bye weeks. It's great for fantasy managers. It's bad for fantasy analysts who have more work to do. Let's go to the next. Let's go to the next must sit running back, Erickson. Who you got?
Kem Walker for the Seattle Seahawks. The Eagles are the number one defense versus running backs in terms of fantasy points allowed to the position, and Walker's still in a committee with Zach Charbonnet. The usage was really weird last week. It was kind of like flipped, where Charbonnet actually saw more carries and Walker was used more in the passing game. So ideally, if you're playing Walker this week, that's what you'd like to see again. But given what we've seen during the beginning of the season, where Charbonnet was the guy that was dominating all the routes. So I don't know if this was, hey, Charbonnet was less removed or less time removed from his injury and Walker was more healthy, so they just had him playing more snaps. I'm just very hesitant to buy into, oh yeah, Walker's going to be the pass catching guy in a matchup, because neither guy's going to be able to run the ball effectively against the Eagles. I don't like that from a running back perspective. And when you look at Kenneth Walker's done, basically, outside a 64-yard receiving touchdown he had a few weeks ago, he's pretty much been doing nothing. Like, half-point finishes over the last five games, 30, 55, 55, and 33. And the RB5 finish was when he had the 64-yard receiving touchdown. Like, besides that one play, he's really done nothing for fantasy. And a lot of his season-long stats are front-loaded based on all the touchdowns he was scoring at the beginning of the season. So Ken Walker, again, committee, bad matchup. Like, these are the spots you want to avoid running backs in. You're not seeing all the touches. You need to see the volume to get over the bad matchups, and that's not the case here with any Seattle running back.
Yeah, quickly, Debro, just since there might be some people listening who are eliminated and just, you know, like the show, what's your standing on Kenneth Walker in Dynasty right now, given all we've seen this year?
Oh, man, he's such an interesting case. Like, I was going to say, like, I had so many reservations about trading him away in so many leagues to begin the year because he was just crushing. But to be honest, I mean, look, you're probably holding him if you got him. If you can lump him into a trade and get rid of him, I'm totally fine with doing that because, I mean, I don't feel good about him. I mean, like, what's the read on the Seattle backfield both this season and next season? Like, could we see the usage flip? Could... I mean, we don't even know who is Geno the quarterback next year? What does this offense look like? It's just a lot of question marks about Kenneth Walker. I mean, very curious to see where his dynasty stock goes next year, as well as where we're going to be drafting him in redraft ADP guys. Like, I mean, he feels like a guy that's probably going to end up in that, like, round five, round six conversation. I mean, am I wrong about that, Erickson? Do you think he goes a little bit higher than that?
No, he's probably going to be a dead zone back, but I think that's probably going to be for the wrong reasons, because at the end of the day, like, we know he's good. Like, he is a good running back. Like, I don't think that's something that's up for debate. Obviously, like, the usage is going to fluctuate depending on how Seattle wants to deploy their backfield, et cetera, the health of the running backs. Like, the health thing has been a big thing with him. Like, he's been hurt the last 2 years, like, multiple points during the season, so that's always a concern. But there's no question that when he's in good matchups, he's super explosive. And I think that matters, especially when it's going to be him versus some of these, like, older, dustier veteran running backs that, quote unquote, project for more volume. I'm going to be probably leaning towards Walker in those head-to-head situations.
Feels like a guy who might be frustrating to roster next year, but then all it takes is one Charbonnet injury, and all of a sudden he's a, you know, lock-in top 10 guy again. So, you know, obviously that's a long ways away, but I was just curious your opinion there. While Ken Walker's fantasy stock has gone downhill, speaking of downhill, I've told you guys before that arguably the single biggest reason I moved to Denver is for the skiing. There's absolutely nothing I love more than getting a cabin in the mountain for a couple of days, heading up with some good friends and hitting the slopes. The only thing better, capping off the day with a beer, but not just any beer, Miller Lite, the 96 calorie beer that tastes like beer and is perfectly brewed for everything winter has to offer. I've said this before, but if I'm ranking possible settings for a beer, that first post-shower, post-ski day beer is my 101. Cracking that Miller Lite just hits different. Of course, if you're skiing with my friends, that might not be your first Miller Lite of the day. More often than not, we're cracking one in the ski lift as well, getting up for early first tracks, riding up that lift with a few Miller Lites stashed away in your pockets. Yeah, that's always a good call. So the next time you want to make the most of your winter memories, whether you're at an ugly Christmas sweater party, enjoying the game with pals, or sharing laughter on the slopes, live those winter moments with Miller Lite. With the Miller Lite in your hand, winter doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Debro, who's your next must-sit running back?
I need to bounce a question off you real quick here, Worm. That post-ski beer, does that happen in the shower? Because I'm a big fan of shower beer and shower bourbons. Like, just saying. When it's been a rough day or you've
shower
been on the slopes.
Bourbon? I have never gone quite that far.
Oh, baby. So, life hack. We're going to go. quick story here. Have you ever seen the little dispensers like that you can get that can give you, like, dispense mouthwash, things like that?
Yeah.
You could set those up in your shower, and I'm not going to confirm or deny whether I have this in my house, but you could set that up in your shower and just pour bourbon in it and have it dispense shots, you know, while you're taking a shower. Just hypotheticals I'm throwing out.
This is very reminiscent of Kramer, like, cooking in the shower in Seinfeld, like preparing a salad in the shower is, it's just not an area I think of for bourbon. Maybe I need to expand my horizons, but more often than not, if I'm having a drink in the shower, it's going to be a beer and it's going to be a Miller Lite. Usually skiing, though, it's post-shower. It's not during shower.
You haven't lived. It's got to be in the shower.
I'll try that at the Fantasy Pro ski trip this January. D-Row, give me your next must-sit running back.
Well, I don't even know if this guy needs to suit up the cleats. I don't even know if he needs to, you know, worry about the post-game shower because he's not going to have a great day. Brian Robinson, man, even if he plays this week, and I know he's dealing with a hamstring injury, if he plays this week, you got to sit him, man. The Rams have been a tough run defense since week 9, 9th lowest explosive run rate. And we've seen Brian Robinson, like, he's had some good games. A lot of it's been volume driven or it's been good matchups. But we've also seen him fail in great spots. I mean, a la the first time they played the Giants. So I do not want to play a dinged up Brian Robinson in a terrible matchup. So no, he's going to stay on the bench this week, boys.
Now, Eric said, it looks like you don't have Robinson ranked. Is that because you're anticipating he doesn't play?
Correct. Until guys prove to me that you're healthy. Like, you don't deserve to be back in the rankings until you practice. And the fact that they had a bye week and didn't practice, like, that's the biggest red flag you could ask for a guy coming off a bye week, not practicing right away. That usually means they're not going to play. So
I'll stick with you, Erickson, for your next must sit guy.
I'm going to continue with the theme here of sitting committee running backs in bad matchups. Deontay Foreman took over or reclaimed the RB1 duties for the Bears last week, coming off of his injury, worked ahead of Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. But that doesn't mean you should start him, even though, again, he's my highest ranked Bears running back. It is not by a lot, and he's still ranked very, very low on the running back totem pole in the rankings this week. I mean, his ACR is still really low as well, but you just can't play him against the Browns, like, especially playing the Browns on the road. Like, the Browns defense is beatable when they're playing away from Cleveland, but in Cleveland, like, this Browns defense is elite, and no one can score points on them. So they've allowed the 7th fewest rushing yards per game at home this season. And I just think that with Foreman not really seeing enough volume while splitting touches with Roschon and Khalil Herbert to some extent, like, you're just hoping he falls in the end zone. And it's a game where the total's not really that high because we don't project a lot of scoring in this spot. And Justin Fields is always a candidate to run it in himself. So I want to get away from Deontay Foreman in places where I can.
He's RB 36 in half point PPR, ECR. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right. And again, it's telling because he's a starting running back and he's RB 36. Like he's like on the bottom of the RB 3 tier. It's like, hey, you're literally only playing him unless you have no other starting running backs on your team. I know I have a dynasty team where I'm looking at Deontay Foreman versus Josh Kelly in my lineup. Yeah. But, well, Foreman's getting the nod because I don't know if Pacheco's going to play. So yeah. That's kind of where I'm turning to. So yeah,
Deeper, it looks like you're even lower on Foreman.
He was dropped in ECR a little bit. I just adjusted my rank. I've got him in the same kind of, it's in the same area code. Like, I've got him at RB 29. I think that he's going to be an RB 3 for me this week. Now, where he kind of falls in that ilk of RB 3s is still left to be decided, but somewhere in the mid RB 3 range, I think is right.
Debra, who's your last must sit running back?
Oh, man. Last guy I'm going to talk about here is James Conner. And James Conner, I'm going to be below consensus. I'm going to make sure I'm below consensus. Because what are the Pats? Like, we've talked about James Conner previous on this show. And okay, like, whoa, he went out against the Steelers and he scored 2 touchdowns and he had a lot of volume. Okay, that feels like the outlier. If you look at the rest of the season for James Conner, and this is not a James Conner problem. This is an Arizona Cardinals problem. They're not giving him enough volume on a weekly basis that we can count on. He's not getting pass game usage. And if you line all that up with this week, San Francisco is a really stellar run defense, man. Since week 10, they've allowed the fourth lowest missed tackle per attempt rate, second, and they have the second highest stuff rate. So in a game where I just think the 49ers are going to truck stick the Cardinals in this one, Kyler Murray's not playing good football. The 49ers are rolling. Their defense is top shelf. If James Conner's not getting checkdowns, if they're in trail mode, he's not going to score touchdowns. I mean, what are we talking about here, guys? Like, he's an RB3, and there's a bunch of RB3s that I would rather even start over James Conner this week. So it's just not a spot or a player, and I hate it because if you look at all of his efficiency metrics, James Conner's blowing the doors off, man. He's playing really good football, but the Cardinals are simply just not using him enough, and the matchup's terrible.
Yeah, you said if they're trailing. They will be trailing. It would be stunning if they won't be trailing this entire game pretty much. So I'm in lockstep with you. I'm actually surprised he's even ranked as highly as he is, in ECR. He's RB 26. I think there's definitely going to be 30 guys that I would rather, like you guys said, there's no bye weeks this week, so there's more options. I don't think he would be inside my top 30. I don't have to do rankings, so I can say that and not have to put my my money where my mouth is. But I just don't like the matchup at all. Erickson, what do you think about Conner?
Yeah, no, I mean, it really depends on, again, I don't know what the status of like DeMarcado, and I know that he got hurt before their bye week and he was operating on third downs, but even if he doesn't play, like Michael Carter has been kind of like dabbling in on third down. So that's like the concern, obviously, in a game where you're projecting the Cardinals to be trailing. It's not a positive game script for James Conner, who got his, he delivered for the Steelers or against the Steelers because they were winning in that game and he was able to run the ball effectively. So if he's not catching dump off passes, then it's going to be an uphill battle for him.
DeMarcado limited on Wednesday with a neck issue. So maybe he plays. We'll see.
Let's use the Who Do I Start tool. This is free to use at fantasypros.com/start. Anybody can head there, put in your own starter sit questions up to 4 players at a time. You can even pick and choose which experts your decision draws from. Again, this is free to use at fantasypros.com/start. It's the Who Do I Start tool. I will throw some name comparisons your guys' way. Erickson, Keaton Mitchell or A.J. Dillon this week?
God, A.J. Dillon is like, I just like laugh every time I look at AJ Dillon's like his scores, because it's the same thing every single week. It's like RB24, RB24, RB22, RB29. Like, what you're gonna get out of AJ Dillon? Like, you're gonna get like RB2, RB3 production. So there is some safety to that, but then you have to look at the matchup and it is definitely worse because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and for some reason AJ Dillon just can't ever find the end zone. So in this case, I would probably lean on Mitchell as more of an upside play, just because he's more explosive. He plays on the Ravens offense. I think the Ravens can put up more points just overall against the Jags. So I actually think that in my rankings, I actually do have Mitchell one spot ahead of AJ Dillon. So again, Dillon definitely comes with more of a floor, but Mitchell, I want that upside in the playoffs.
He's also one spot ahead in ECR, so it's kind of a similar range there. Also in that range is Kenneth Walker. So I'm going to ask you Kenneth Walker or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's right behind those guys in ECR.
I'm taking Edwards-Helaire. As long as Pacheco's out, I know that Edwards-Helaire kind of split usage with Jerick McKinnon, but look, the Chiefs, if they're winning in this game, I think that he has more touchdown equity. I think that he still gets the touches inside the five-yard line, where McKinnon is just kind of like more of the red zone guy. Like when they're inside the 20, he gets more of these, you know, passes out of the backfield. So I'll lean on Edwards-Helaire on the Chiefs offense.
Dante Foreman or Gus Edwards?
Gus Edwards. Just, I think he has more touchdown equity. I'd rather bet on the, again, betting on the Ravens offense to steamroll the Jags versus the Bears on the road against the Browns. Yeah.
D-Bro, Jerome Ford or Najee Harris?
I'm going Najee on this one. I think the Steelers learned their lesson. Like last week with Trubisky, they decided they wanted to pass the ball and run fast at the beginning of the game. Mike Tomlin's going to be like, I watched that game tape. We're not doing that again. We're going slow. We're going to feed Najee. We're going to feed Jalen Warren, and we're going to try to grind out a win. So the matchup's pretty good for Najee, so I'm going to go with him.
How about James Conner or Jerome Ford?
Oof. All of my least favorite things. I'll go Conner here because Conner at least doesn't have to deal with Kareem Hunt possibly vulturing a touchdown.
And then assuming that he plays Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson in the same backfield.
Woof. Give me B-Rob. I have no faith in Antonio Gibson at all. Like, I get it. Like, he's been in the primer every week this year. But I don't like it. Don't like him. He's done nothing all year.
Yeah. Let's move to the must-sit wide receivers here. Erickson, starting with you.
Drake London. I don't care what he did last week, because that was last week and this is this week. And the matchup is totally different against Carolina. This is not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. That is a pass funnel. Carolina is a run funnel. And they have a very underrated secondary. So with the Falcons playing on the road against a defense that Arthur Smith can game plan, knowing that I can run the ball 40 times if I want to and win this game. Like, I do not have to have Desmond Ridder drop back to throw 5 or 10 times at all in this game. He doesn't need to throw the ball to beat the Panthers on the road, especially with actually there's projecting for some weather in this game as well. So I think that, yes, London was so great last week, but that was because of the matchup. And he is a matchup-dependent wide receiver. As good as he is, you know, when he came down with that deep ball from Ridder in the second half of last, I was like, oh my God, dude, Drake London is that guy. But in this spot where in week one, he had zero catches against the Carolina Panthers, like, no one's going to be surprised when we look up and be like, wow, he was a bust against Carolina because the matchup does not dictate starting him. So it seems crazy to bench a guy that had 170 receiving yards last week, but it was against the Bucs. And this week is against the Carolina Panthers. And it's not like London has been this super consistent wide receiver in fantasy because he's attached to Desmond Ridder in an offense that wants to run the football. So against the Panthers, especially on the road where London has been putting up worse numbers, he's only gone over 50 yards on the road twice this season in 6 road games. I've got to sit Drake London.
Yeah, D-Bro, you're actually more in line with consensus. Erickson is well below ECR on Drake London. You're just like, you're not buying in solely based on last week, right? You just kind of maybe like the matchup better. What's your reasoning there?
I think there's only so far down that I can get him. I mean, I think like he's in that wide receiver 3 ilk. Just it's a bet on talent. But I mean, I'm with Erickson overall. I mean, I'm not massively in love with Drake London. The closer we get to Sunday, I will double check ECR. And if I'm in line, I'm going to bump him a few spots below that because I agree with everything Erickson said.
D-Bro, sticking with you for your first must-sit wide receiver.
Oh, good Lord. What has been the roller coaster ride that has been Calvin Ridley all year? It's been good. It's been great. It's been terrible. You don't know whether to put your arms up and go, wee, or vomit in a trash can. It's been horrible, man. I mean, you're like, do I start him? Do I not? Oh, great. I didn't put him in my lineup this week. And he goes off. It's been horrible. I do not think he goes off in this matchup, man. And Worm can attest. Baltimore Ravens secondary is hashtag good at football, baby. I mean, you look at since week 9 against boundary wide receivers, 5th fewest PPR points per target, 11th lowest receiving yards per game. None of this spells good times and all the points for Calvin Ridley. Sit him this week.
I know that Gabe Davis is like the roller coaster wide receiver of the season. Like, he has that title. Man. Calvin Ridley might be number two. I mean, he has not had a finish this season between, I think it's wide receiver 9 and wide receiver 27. Every other game, he has been either ahead or behind those numbers. So there's just no wide receiver 2 finishes that he's had all year. It's actually kind of stunning that a wide receiver could do that in a season.
You hit the nail on the head, man. He's got 4 weeks as a wide receiver 1 this year, and he's got 5 games outside of the top 50.
Yeah.
Fun times, fellas. Fun times.
Erickson, what do you make of Ridley this week?
I mean, I want to play him. We've been calling him Gabe Davis South for a while. Like, that's who he has been all season long. So, as a take for next year, I think that Calvin Ridley could actually be, like, this year's, like, Cortland Sutton, where everybody was a year or two early on him, you know, first year coming back, again, inconsistent. But when you just look at, like, his usage, again, I don't know what is exactly his expected fantasy points is, but I'm sure it's really high because every single week he sees high value targets. He sees a ton of air yards. He sees a ton of the end zone targets, the red zone targets. And that's what Cortland Sutton saw a lot last year, but he just didn't convert on those opportunities. So again, he's going to be discounted heavily next year because of how inconsistent he's been. But it may be a case of, hey, man, like, he missed so much time in football. Like, why are we surprised that he was a little bit rusty and inconsistent? So just something to keep in mind as we move forward. But in this particular matchup, I don't want any pieces of Calvin Ridley.
Erickson, give you a guess. Where do you think Calvin Ridley is? Wide receiver what in expected fantasy points for game? Made me look this up, and oh, good Lord, I'm so intrigued.
He's definitely inside the top 10. I'll say 7.
Oh, he's close. Wide receiver 16.
Oh, 16? I thought he'd be higher, actually. But still, yeah. And then versus his actual, which is what, like in the 30s, probably?
Yeah, he is he's wide receiver 28 in fantasy points per game. So, makes sense.
He's 20. He's wide receiver 25 in total fantasy points, but that's because he's played every week.
He hasn't missed any games, surprisingly. Yeah. That's one thing. He actually has been healthy. So
Yeah, which is something. Erickson, give me your next must-sit receiver.
George Pickens. You cannot start George Pickens if Mitchell Trubisky is anywhere near the football in a game. So if you just look at historically this year and last year in the games where Trubisky's played the most snaps, looking at the targets Pickens has in those games, 3, 2, 7, 3, 5, and 6. So, like, you're betting on, okay, Pickens is going to get, like, 5 targets. Maybe Freiermuth gets more targets. Deontay Johnson gets more targets. Like, you're just razor-thin margins with George Pickens. And it was shocking last week that he actually caught 5 passes, but he got 19 yards against the Patriots. Like, and that was a good matchup. So, again, the Colts necessarily aren't this juggernaut defense that I'm super afraid of, but they're still allowing the 8th fewest receptions per game to wide receivers. So I just don't want to put any trust I have in Mitchell Trubisky with George Pickens. Again, he had 5 catches last week for 19 yards. Like, what are you missing by benching George Pickens? There's just no upside without the amount of volume that he's going to get because he's going to be behind Deontay. And Debro hit on it earlier when we were talking about some of these Steelers running backs where, you know, they're going to run the football. Like, that's, I think, their game plan, not, hey, let's unleash Mitchell Trubisky. Like, we saw that on Thursday night. It did not work. And Mike Tomlin, again, you know, that seat is hot. Like, he's like, man, I got to get the ball out of Trubisky's hands into my running back. So I'm going to sit George Pickens.
Erickson, you don't want to invest in George Pickens, who his ADOT last, and this floored me when I pulled this up for the primer.
Crazy.
His ADOT was 3.2.
Jeez.
I got no words,
Trust me, I was annoyed because I had the under on his receptions props. I'm like, why is he getting all these screen passes? Like, this is like, it's we've crazy. Never seen this before. It obviously didn't work because he got 19 yards. But yeah, don't play George Pickens.
Yeah, you guys are all in lockstep with him outside the top 40. So we can move on from Pickens to Debro's next player, who I don't understand why he's ranked as high as he is in consensus.
He's basically the twin brother of Calvin Ridley, except maybe the ugly twin brother. We'll see.
Ugh, rude.
Man, Terry McLaurin's season has been terrible. He's gotten a boatload of volume and he's done absolutely nothing with it. You look at this year, 19% target share, 1.4 yards per route run. I mean, he hasn't finished as a top 36 wide receiver in fantasy since week 9. That just let that soak in for a second. Why do we keep ranking him and we see him in ECR like in the 20s, the high 20s? Like, there's just no way, man. Like, especially if you look at the Rams since week 9, perimeter wide receivers, 9th fewest PPR points per target. Like, if you're looking for a Commanders wide receiver to start on a weekly basis in the playoffs, it is not Terry McLaurin. It's actually Curtis Samuel.
D-Bro, it's worse than you said. He hasn't finished in the top 42 in the last, you know, since week 9. It's been so wide receiver 50, 42, 46, 119, but he's not pairing it with the high-end games either. His best finish this year is wide receiver 15. He doesn't have any wide receiver 1 finishes on the season. This is in half PPR, by the way. He has not topped 15 points in a game this season. Again, in half PPR. I mean, it's just been bad. Like, he's not playable. I don't understand why he's ranked in the top 30 in ECR right now. Erickson, where do you have him?
I have him right around 30. And I think that
I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, I think it's just looking at the total of the game. Like, I mean, this has a 50 point total essentially against the Rams. Like, this game's probably going to shoot out. And again, you're talking about McLaurin. He hasn't scored a lot of touchdowns. Like, you could say, you make the argument that's going to regress just based on the amount of volume that he's seeing. I mean, he's 2 weeks removed from an 11 target game. We know Sam Howell loves to throw the football, and yeah, he's been really bad, but eventually those opportunities are going to convert into some type of production. And what better bet to make than in a game with like a 50 point total where they're going to have to be throwing the ball? And you look at the Rams, like, they've been elite against slot receivers. Like, so is it really a Curtis Samuel game? Like, why can't it be a McLaurin game? So I think that he still has upside. But yeah, I understand. I understand more why he's in wide receiver 30.
I mean, to be fair, I probably wouldn't be starting. It's not like I'm saying, oh, you need to start Jahan Dotson instead. Or that's what I mean.
It's like someone like the Washington's going to funnel targets in the passing game to somebody. So we don't want to start Dotson.
It's probably going to just be like a lot of check downs to Antonio Gibson or something like tight end, stuff like that.
It's going to be in the middle of the field. Like, I'll straight up say I'm going to rank Curtis Samuel over Terry McLaurin. I've got Terry McLaurin right now as my wide receiver 41. And considering all of his finishes over the last few weeks, guys, it might be a little bit generous, to be honest.
I love the player, and like, I have him in a dynasty league. Same. Where I need to win this week because the playoffs don't start till next week. So like, I'm a Terry McLaurin guy. I the proof is kind of in the pudding, right? Like, we haven't seen the upside, and we've seen a lot of downside really this whole season.
If I were to come out and told you that Sam Howell was going to be top 3 in basically every passing metric, we would have all said, walking into this year, like, look, like, if you just knew that that was the only information you had, wouldn't we all say, well, Terry McLaurin's probably a top 20 wide receiver, right? But it's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, we were aggressive as it is drafting McLaurin and Dotson. I mean, they were both going in the top, what, like 6 or 7 rounds in drafts this year. By the end, Dotson moved up a lot late in August, and obviously that was a huge miss as well. Let's move to the next wide receiver who has also shown a fair bit of downside this season, Erickson.
T. Higgins, last 2 weeks, he has 5 catches for 105 yards. So the yardage is good. The volume is really bad, though. He has 7 targets. He has 2 games this year where he's been better than wide receiver 30. Higgins, I think I was looking at like an all bust team, and he's on it. Like, because he was a 2nd round pick. And I mean, he's done absolutely nothing. He's been hurt. Joe Burrow's obviously been hurt. And look, if Jamar Chase is going to be inconsistent, then you can't have any faith that T. Higgins is going to be consistent in any way. And I know he had a touchdown callback last week, but that actually wasn't from Browning. Like, that was from A.J. McCarron. Like, Browning didn't throw him the ball in the end zone. So against this Vikings defense that has been just red hot against opposing offenses, if you just look at, they're allowing the 6th fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks. I mean, Devontae Adams had done nothing against them the entire game until like the last drive of the game when he caught a long pass. So T. Higgins, like, Jamar Chase, you're hoping just delivers because he's so talented, whereas T. Higgins, I think this is a lost year for him. I feel bad for the guy in real life just because his free agency stock just tanked because he just put up a horrible season statistically. So someone might get a deal in free agency. But yeah, for me, T. Higgins, like, he's in the like wide receiver 30s. I have him like wide receiver like 55. Like, I don't want any part of T. Higgins.
I've got him at 45.
Like,
I'm with you, Erickson.
Maybe 55 is too low, but I'm just like, I have him at a point where I'm like, I'm not even considering T. Higgins like an option this week. Like, I'm like, he's firmly on my bench, if not on my waiver wire.
I mean, he was wide receiver 34 last week. It was his 3rd best game of the season, like by a decent amount. Like, that's really all you need to say. Like, that's just the kind of year. Now, there's been some injuries in there. It's not like he's played every week, of course, but it's just been that kind of year for him. It's really tough. Also, just on this matchup specifically, like, I don't know that I really trust Browning or McCarron to face off against his Vikings like pass rush. I think is going to kind of murder them. So like even if he had been playing well, I would be a little hesitant given, you know, young quarterback and experienced quarterback against a defense like this stylistically. So, yeah, I'm fully with you on T. Higgins. D-Bro, give us the last must-sit receiver.
Well, I talked about him. I loved him last week, and he let me down. I'm not playing Amari Cooper this week. The target share was definitely there. I mean, look, he got a 31% target share last week, 51% air yard share from Joe Flacco. That volume probably still remains this week, but good luck trying to do anything with it. I mean, again, talking about the Chicago Bears pass defense. They're playing out of their minds, man. You look over the last few weeks, since week 9, 7th fewest PPR points per target to perimeter wide receivers, 2nd fewest receiving yards per game to perimeter wide receivers. So people need to understand, toss out all of your misconceptions about the Bears defense. They've been good against the run all year. Since week 11, week 9, they've been amazing against the pass. I want nothing to do with the Cleveland Browns offense this week.
Quickly, Erickson, where are you at on Cooper?
I have him kind of in that just wide receiver 2 range. Look, every time that I try to doubt this guy, he always like just comes through. So again, I'm not going to rank him super, super low, and I understand if you have to play him, but again, it's not like a ceiling spot against, I think, the Bears, who are, I think, very underrated defensively on both the pass and the run.
Erickson, Drake London or Brandon Cooks this week?
I am going to start Drake London, but I don't feel good about it.
George Pickens or T. Higgins? I believe you have both these guys in the 50s.
Rather start Michael Wilson. I'd rather, like, I don't want to start either of these guys. Like, give me a Cardinals receiver that should see volume. I guess I'll start. I have Pickens ranked ahead, so let's go with him.
And then for the folks who get to this show early before Thursday Night Football, is Josh Palmer ahead of both of those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured as much. D-Bro, Amari Cooper or Garrett Wilson?
Oh, it's Garrett Wilson. Good Lord, I'm investing
Zach
in the arm
good
of
last
Zach Wilson. Versus the Texans.
Relative
man.
To Zach Wilson.
I was fixed to say good for Zach Wilson is like, oh, okay, yeah. You can play quarterback like a D3 guy. Cool.
Yeah, I lost. I have Stroud, like, obviously in concussion protocol, so I guess it's not clear yet what's going to happen with him. But I had to pick up Zach Wilson in a couple of leagues for the playoffs this week, which was a very, very tough feeling.
Good luck. Yeah. Good luck, Worm. That's all I can say. Good luck.
Calvin Ridley or Terry McLaurin?
Ew. I'll say Calvin Ridley.
Got to start Terry, dude.
No,
I would go Ridley, honestly, even against the Ravens defense.
I have no faith in Terry McLaurin. I think other players in this game are going to pop off. I know I've been very down on Brian Robinson and I'm down on McLaurin. That's also because I'm high on some other players for the Commanders this week.
Let's quickly go through the quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses here. Erickson, who are you sitting?
Tua Tagovailoa. He's playing the Jets at home. He was QB 26 the last time he played them. He's not been better than QB 9 since week 6. And Tyreek Hill is banged up. Look, if Hill's not playing, like, you can't play Tua. And even with Hill against the Jets, like, Tua was not that great. So again, Tua's had a lot of great matchups over the recent weeks and has been okay at best. So again, I think that the Staffords of the world are better plays than Tua is this week.
Mm-hmm. And then your tight end and defense?
Yep. So Kyle Pitts is going to be my tight end to sit. He scored last week. Again, it was a great matchup against the Buccaneers. Not the case with the Panthers. Elite defense against tight ends, allowing second fewest catches per game to tight ends. They've also allowed the fewest fantasy points per game to tight ends aligned in the slot, where Kyle Pitts runs a lot of his routes. So he's held a 2 catch for 44 yards the last time he played the Panthers back in week 1. So I want to get away from all Falcons pass catchers if I am able to do so. And then my DST I want to sit is the Jaguars. Ravens have allowed the fewest points to fantasy DSTs the last 4 weeks, 6th fewest on the season. So Jaguars secondary is just so bad. It's going to get roasted by the Ravens.
By the way, on to this is why I was kind of fading the idea of trading for Dolphins all season. If you look at the game, you know, with the projected matchups coming up, it's all red. It's Jets, it's Cowboys, it's at Baltimore. Week 18 is the Bills, which won't matter for fantasy, but it's a really tough stretch for the Dolphins. Are you starting this week, Tua or Russ Wilson?
Come on, man. You know you want to say Russ. Go,
yeah,
Russ.
I guess start Russ Wilson against the Lions in Coors Field. The Ford Field of the NFL. Fields,
yeah.
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Kyle Pitts or Pat Freiermuth?
Freiermuth.
Debro, who you got for quarterback, tight end, and defense?
Man, so if I'm down on Ridley, I'm down on his quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, I'm sitting him. Baltimore's been a terrible matchup for quarterbacks all year. They're allowing the third fewest yards per attempt and third lowest CPOE. So sitting Trevor Lawrence, tight end. I don't want people chasing the one-off, so I got to bring him up here. Hunter Henry, do not pick him up. Do not play him. Do not pass go. Do not collect the Hunter Henry dollars this week. He is not going to lead you to the promised land. Kansas City, sixth fewest fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends and sixth fewest receiving yards per game allowed to tight ends. And as far as the defense, man, we started off the year pretty high and they were playing good. The Detroit Lions, man, playing terrible as a defense. Since week 11, they're DST 30 in fantasy points per game. There's only two defenses worse than them. There's no way I'm rostering them.
These guys are back-to-back in ECR. Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff?
Goff.
We will wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Good luck here in the first round of the fantasy playoffs, or if your league is still in its regular season, good luck making the playoffs. For Erickson and Debro, I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.